This is Positive People with Sam Sussman and Raj Rawat. Our show is about positivity, and we bring inspirational role models who share tools and resources that residents can use right now. Today, we have Jason Mendelson and Stacy Putka.
Jason Mendelson is a co-founder of the Foundry Group, and Stacy Putka runs the Defy Colorado administrative program. So, Stacy, there's been a lot of positive impact and conversation about what Defy Ventures Colorado have done in the prison system.
Yeah.
How did this whole process get started?
Defy Ventures Colorado was really born out of the idea that we are all X-somethings. And in order to solve this problem of mass incarceration, we actually have the highest rate of incarcerated individuals in the entire world. We need to come together as a community and have a unique solution to a really difficult and pervasive problem in our country. So Defy Ventures Colorado focuses on providing an inside-out model to rehabilitation of working with people with criminal histories. So we begin working with people who are incarcerated, and we provide programming to them alongside really valuable community members so they can learn about character development, career readiness, and entrepreneurial education. And then we continue to work with them once they're released to help stabilize them in the community and then eventually start their business that they created when they were inside.
So you talked about three things. One, inside-out development.
Mm-hmm.
Two, working inside the prisons. And three, when they are released.
Yes.
So can you share a little bit more of detail and how that works?
Yeah. So inside the prisons, we have an 8-month program. And throughout that 8-month program, we take in volunteers and mentors with us to every single interaction that we have with the individuals inside. So we have weekly classroom sessions throughout the 8 months where individuals read curriculum and watch videos based on entrepreneurship and character development. And then they work with mentors in the classroom sessions to help further conceptualize and understand those concepts. We also have big mentoring events throughout the program, or capstone events, where large groups of individuals come in and help them work on different deliverables that they create. So their business plan, their marketing plan, resumes, cover letters. And at the end of the program, every single person in the program pitches a for-profit business in a Shark Tank style competition. And our mentors come in and judge those competitions as well.
Jason, how did you decide, or with your partners, you folks decided to fund this whole project? Give me some insight in terms of your thought process.
Well, for me, it was real personal. I grew up in government subsidized housing in downtown Detroit. And there's not a lot of hope, and there's not a lot of opportunity. And I got very lucky. And I think my first real glimmer of hope was I was a drummer. And I learned that I could go play drums for money, and I could not starve to death. And it was the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. And along the way, I learned, or I believe, that people who have entrepreneurial mindsets have power, they have stability, they have resiliency, the ability to control the world around them in a way that other people don't. And it's been something that I've carried with me. I've been an adjunct professor at CU for 12 years. I'm a venture capitalist. I fund entrepreneurs. And what I realized going into the prison the first time was, oh my goodness, we have some of our most brilliant entrepreneurial minds in our country locked up. Now, they were entrepreneurs. They were doing illegal things, but oh my God, if we could harness this spirit and harness this energy and this power, not only are we going to improve their lives, we're going to improve the lives of this country. We're going to stop these people going back to prisons, perpetuating this on along family lineages for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. It was so powerful of a way to break this. And I said, boy, it's just personally, this is incredible. And then from an intellectual standpoint, you know, this is something I'm passionate about, this education. And I've learned more from these EITs. We call the people that we serve entrepreneurs in training. I've learned more from them than I've ever given these folks.
Stacy, can you give us a real example
of someone working with a mentor in the program?
Yeah, or you know, a success story.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the most beautiful success stories echoes back to that breaking the cycle that Jason just spoke about. So if you actually have a parent who is incarcerated, you're 70% more likely to become incarcerated yourself. And lack of stability, lack of social opportunity, economic opportunity, things like that. And we had one gentleman in the program who his whole family, as far as he could remember, all of his uncles, all of his brothers, his dad, his grandfather, had all been incarcerated. So he just fell into that cycle of what he saw around him as the appropriate behavior, and first began getting arrested when he was only 12 years old. He has two children and hadn't seen his children in a very, very long time because their mother didn't want them to fall into those same patterns. And through our program, he was able to demonstrate his ability to change and his entrepreneurial spirit to the mother of his children. And she brought them to his graduation ceremony. And it was the first time that he had seen his kids in 7 or 8 years. So they had an opportunity to see their dad succeeding and choosing transformational change and choosing to believe in the entrepreneurial spirit. And that opportunity can hopefully break that cycle, and his kids can stay free and not fall into the family pattern that has been pervasive for him.
So eventually, what happened with this gentleman?
Right now, he's still incarcerated. He is set to parole in a few years. It's really difficult for us to know exactly when people will get out because the system and policies are always changing. So right now, he's a peer facilitator and helps the next group of participants or EITs that are in the program go through the program.
As a facilitator, mm-hmm. what kind of skills is he being able to develop and pass on to the next generation of people who are coming through?
Yeah. Well, as Jason mentioned, they have this incredible sense of creativity and diligence that I don't see in a lot of other people. The solutions that they come up with to problems, I mean, and all of us who love entrepreneurship know that that's what it's all about, right? It's finding a really wicked problem and coming up with a really creative solution to that problem. And that's what the people in our program are able to do. And through the relationships with mentors and the curriculum that they learn while they're in the program, they're able to harness that innate skill into really hard skills so that they can come up with business plans and solutions that are really tangible for those problems.
Do you ever go to parole meetings?
I don't. I've never been to a parole meeting. I take that back, actually. I have been to a parole meeting before. We have one gentleman who's out right now, and I picked him up from his community corrections facility when he was able to move out and go on parole, and took him to his parole meeting. I actually wasn't able to go into the office and meet with the parole officer, but he came out after, introduced himself, and let me know some of the requirements that that individual is going to have.
Yeah, and he's starting a business right now that we're mm-hmm. helping with. So the Defy Mentors have gotten together. We've raised the money for him to start his business. It's prisonart.com. Mm-hmm. Look for it nearly. You wouldn't believe how many amazing artists there are locked up, and they have no way of getting their art out there. And the idea is that the art will be sold. Part of the money goes to restitution for victims. Mm-hmm. Some of the money goes to the families of the incarcerated individuals. Some of it goes to them as well. But incredible talent. And he's decided that he's going to make a nationwide Etsy-style platform dedicated toward prison art.
Thank you for joining us at KGNU Community Radio. Today we have Jason Mendelson and Stacy Putka.
In your mentoring, you said one of the things that you found very interesting and engaging was that there was a lot of entrepreneurial talent in the prisons, previously being used for wrong purposes, but very creative, or very outside-the-box thinkers. What are some of the things that stand out about one or two of the people that you worked with?
So one of the people I met with, former Air Force mechanic, you know who I'm talking mm-hmm. about. I walk in, and he says, here's my idea. I have this patent. And I assume what that means is he has this idea that he would like to patent. No, he actually has a patent. He, mm-hmm. While incarcerated, he got a patent issued to him.
Wow.
And it was a flood mitigation system, a mm-hmm. device, way better than sandbags, reusable, cheaper, faster, stronger, the whole thing. And he says, so what do you think? Hmm. And I think to myself, I'm feeling really insignificant right now. I've never gotten a patent. And like, what do I do to help? And we've actually corresponded. We write to each other. I've helped him out. He's got a second patent now. Just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And you think of things like that. You know, that's one in the spectrum. Another in the spectrum is somebody who comes and says, hey, by the way, did you know that if you're an African-American in Boulder, you don't have anywhere to get your hair cut? No, I didn't know that. It's like, there's nowhere good to go. Wow. It's like, I want to start a mobile haircutting business that targets, you know, areas where there's not a huge African-American population, but they still want to look good. And I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all over the map. I'm just giving two examples, but there's things that are high science. There's things that are internet. There's everything from food trucks. But they're doing what entrepreneurs do. They scratch their own itch. But our program is helping them decide, is this a viable business, mm-hmm. right? And in ways that most people don't even have that opportunity who are outside of prisons. Mm-hmm.
So when you decide to bring in mentors to help these incarcerated people grow, what do you tell them? And how do you pull them in? I mean, prisons are potentially dangerous places.
Yeah, they can be. I will tell you, the first time you go, and by the way, I would like to invite both of you to come with us. You guys got to come. It's so amazing. It'll change your life more than it will change anybody else's life. That I promise. If not, I'll give you your money back or I'll buy you lunch.
We're in.
All right. And that goes for those of you listening out there. We're always looking for great mentors and volunteers to help us. You know, what I tell them is this. I've never felt I was terrified the first time I went. Let's not lie. I've been to jail once and was getting my little brother out of it. And that was a whole nother story, but I've never been to jail. I've never had a speeding ticket or a parking ticket, knock on wood. I'm literally the last Boy Scout. So I'm stay far away from jail as possible. And I was terrified. And I went in there and within about 6 minutes, I'm like, this is cool. And by the end of the day, I realized that there's no danger at all. These folks would do anything to keep you safe. They are so appreciative. They are brothers. We now have a women's facility, so we have sisters now. Mm-hmm. It is unbelievable. You want to feel appreciated. You want to feel like, you know, how many things do you do? You volunteer, you do something good, and, you know, they say no good deed goes unpunished. Well, this is the exact opposite of that. And so what I tell mentors is if you want to come in and have an impact where you can follow along, see these people transform. I mean, some people, I remember the first time we went into one of the facilities, person wouldn't make eye contact or even talk to me. And I was sort of like, hey man, it's okay. End of the program, he's like shaking hands, hugging. And like, it's like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. you know, we helped in this. I would say there's a billion different ways to mentor, whether it's business, whether it's personal, all these things. We need people who are open-minded to come in. And I guarantee we've not once had somebody not walk away and mind blown.
Stacy, how did you get into this whole business?
I actually read Bradfeld's blog when he and Jason were initially working on bringing DeFi to Colorado. So Jason was on the vanguard of this and really worked on bringing this organization here. So I came in later and ended up going down and volunteering at our facility called Arkansas Valley Correctional Facility. And I worked with people who were on parole doing mental health and substance use therapy. So it was a population I was already really passionate about. And I was still blown away by exactly what Jason was just speaking about, the level of appreciation, the impact you can see within one day that you were able to make by spending some time in the car and spending a few hours in a gym in a prison with a large group of people.
And so this has been a rewarding event for you, obviously. Mm-hmm. Give us your feelings about the whole thing. Does your background have something to do with how you feel about this whole thing?
I've always, it's just been naturally embedded in my DNA since I can remember that I care about all people. And this experience has made me even more so that way. It's been a really humbling opportunity to be able to invite other people into that same mindset. So we've had individuals that we've spoken to about the program who have thought, gosh, don't people who are in prison deserve to be there? I've had people say that to me all the time. And after hearing about the program two or three times, they're like, what the heck? I got to go in and see what this is all about. And so they sign up and volunteer and come in. And to see the the thought shift in someone from, oh, they deserve to be in prison, to, wow, there's real humans in there that are valuable, that can give back to our society, that we might be better off with them being out here with us than being in there. And that shift for someone means the world to me, to know that our organization makes that possible for people to have that transformation within their own cognition.
How do people self-select, or who selects people to participate in this program?
Our program is a voluntary program. So when people are incarcerated, a lot of times they are mandated to do different types of therapy and treatment. And we basically put up flyers throughout the facility, and people hear about it from word of mouth, and they voluntarily decide that they want to do this program. So they fill out an over 20-page application with essay questions about why they want to transform, what entrepreneurship means to them, why they believe they'll be a good entrepreneur. And we were review their applications and accept as many people as we can that we have the space for. That's always the thing in prison, is there's not enough space to meet with people. So different facilities have different sizes of classes, and we accept people with all different kinds of sentence lengths and charges. So our only requirement is that they are 100% committed to transformation, that they're not a slacker, and that they'll work hard.
So, Jason, why did you hire Stacy?
Isn't it obvious? I mean, listen to her. I mean, how could you have somebody better, you know, intelligent, caring, you know, cares about people. She's much nicer than I am. I don't care about most people. I'm the cold-hearted guy, but I do like people who try hard, and I will say that REITs try really hard, and that's my attraction. I like anybody who's trying hard, I'll give time to. If you're not trying, I don't really have time for you. Mm-hmm. She's much nicer than me. We hired her and Bob Omer, who's our executive director, because they're passionate, they're smart, they're honest. They're frankly great role models to not only the EITs that we serve, but our mentors, our donors, the entire ecosystem that we're trying to evolve here.
How many people have gone through the program now, meaning graduated and they're already out in the world and you've been able to measure their progress?
So there's this really interesting thing. I mentioned it's a voluntary program. So there's not a lot of state-funded programs for people with life or long sentences. So our first classes had a lot of people with really long sentence lengths. So we've had 178 graduates from inside the facility, but there's only 5 who are out. So, but that will start to change as we get more individuals in the program. Those people with the life and long sentences begin to change the culture inside, and people with shorter sentences will start to voluntarily sign up for our program. So we're hoping to have 15 to 20 out by the end of this year.
And to add to that, what we've heard routinely from the wardens and the correction officers who are inside the prison, who, by the way, were super skeptical when we showed up. It's like, okay, who are all these people driving down from Boulder and Denver and invading our prison here? They have, I mean, talk about appreciation. They have the stories we've had from people who've moved from level 5 to level 3 levels of security because of their new attitudes, the gang leaders who are in our program together, who used to hate each other, who are now growing their hair out and holding each other's hands. And the transformation is not just on the outside of afterwards, it's what's happening inside. And changing the culture inside in some ways can be just as important as outside when we're talking about these nasty circles that we have where people get out and go right back in because they fall into their gang lives. I mean, to see three of the big gang leaders growing hair and renouncing their gangs and taking pictures together and moving down, you know, levels of security and changing the culture of the prison, that's really satisfying.
Mm-hmm. So what's the fundamental DNA change on the inside that's happening, you think, that's causing these external changes outside?
I think a couple things. One of the things we start with in the program is we don't come in and say, yeah, I've been doing this for 20 years and I'm smart and let me tell you how to do everything, right? That's stupid. It's not, they've been yelled at and told things for years. The first thing we do exercises, which actually show that we're all pretty much the same people. You know, as Stacy says, we're all X something. I bet you most of us have done something. Even though I made the comment I've never gotten a speeding ticket, that doesn't mean I haven't sped. I just didn't get caught, right? I mean, think about some of the things I did in undergrad in rock bands. I could go to jail too. By allowing these people to understand that we're not holier than that, we're no better than them, we just happen to have a different life, we're able to connect in a way that I think is really legitimate for them. And then from that, the program's super successful.
It's the humanity.
Yeah, I think the humanity is the biggest key. They feel like humans. We treat them like humans. They treat us like humans. We treat each other as colleagues. They see the hope. They see the potential. Wait a minute, you know, I can use what I thought was a bad thing, my entrepreneurial spirit, which got me in jail. I mean, that can be a superpower of mine. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got it.
What would you like to say to the community, to people, the community both outside and inside the prison, mm-hmm. and relatives, about the program and what kind of things they can learn from your experience and the inspiration that you're bringing for people to find their best selves?
This only works if all of the stakeholders are involved. If it was just one of us who went into the facilities every week and gave advice on entrepreneurship, it wouldn't have the same impact. This works because it's a community effort. Because at every graduation ceremony, there are mentors, all of the program graduates who stuck through the really difficult program for 8 months, and their family members. And we need all three of those people to come together in order for this to create long-lasting change. And all three can be involved. So as Jason mentioned earlier, anyone with an open mindset who cares about this population, who wants to give them some insight, coming in and mentoring is an incredibly important piece because it brings that humanity inside of prison walls where it doesn't typically exist.
And what happens to the graduates who have not yet left the prison but have graduated from your program? What kind of act do they continue to do the activities, learning and growth? And
they become our peer facilitators. So now we are expanding the mentorship pool and ecosystem within the prison. Helps keep people focused. This is a hard program. I mean, Stacy mentioned it's a 20-page. The application's harder than undergrad application, right? We're trying to really determine, are these people committed? Now they have a support group inside. As we've been told, as the wardens will tell us, the most powerful part, he knows the program's powerful because at the same time, there's people in the prison going, you don't want to do that, right? There's always people trying to get you to do the wrong thing. There are people who are locked up who should probably be locked up forever. I'm not one of these people who thinks people shouldn't be locked up. And the having a bigger ecosystem to say, hey, let's keep everybody in together. It's a very powerful fraternity, if you will, mm-hmm. Inside the four walls of the prison.
It sounds like you guys are changing the world. It's too bad that the politicians that are all around aren't listening to
positivity, Sam. Positivity.
The way you're approaching this problem.
I think there's some positive notes. I think that there are people who are spending time thinking about education globally. I think our dear Governor Polis here. In Colorado is thinking about that. Our former governor John Hickenlooper came to prison several times to mentor. In fact, one of the things we have is it's called Step to the Line, where people have to take a step forward if they've ever been arrested. And of course, everybody in wearing green jumpsuits steps forward, and then John Hickenlooper steps forward, and everybody goes, oh my God, wait? I mean, talk about building a connection. Mm-hmm. So I do think we're moving in the right direction. Sam, I would agree with you. It doesn't move fast enough, but what does in politics?
And in fact, that's exactly the reason why we have this program, so that we can bring solutions and tools directly to the community mm-hmm. that are positive mm-hmm. and inspirational role models like yourselves, so we can follow what you're doing.
Well, so, and by the way, just to interrupt for one second, think about it. Without the support of the politicians, we wouldn't be in the prisons.
Absolutely.
So, you know, maybe, you know, I'd love it if they give us some state funding, but they had to let us in.
So if I wanted to become a volunteer, how would I do that? Who would I talk to? Give me the specifics of your organization and mm-hmm. how to get in touch.
Well, if you want to volunteer, at some point you'll have a phone call with me. So you already know what I sound like, so you know it'll be legit. You can go to our website, www.defycolorado.org. There's information about how to get in contact with us. It has our executive director, Bob Omer's email address and my email address. You email one of us individually, and we will directly get you signed up to come into the facilities.
Do you interview people before they become mentors or before they fill out the application?
Yes, we usually have a phone call, and that's just, what is their professional background? Why do they care about this? The first question I ask everyone is, why does this mission resonate with you? And I can usually tell pretty quickly if they're an open, empathetic individual, and we have them come in.
Thank you very much for a fantastic inspiration today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. On this show, Positive People, my co-host Sam Sussman and I, Raj Rawat, bring inspirational role models from our community who can share tools and resources that we can use right now, right away. And in today's conversation, there are so many tools and resources and insights that we certainly hope you will take full advantage of. Our editor is Kendall Perry.